Good to see everybody. So, hey, look, there's a guy that went to the doctor the other day. And he went in there, and the doctor, he did some tests. So the doctor called him back. Said, hey, I got some good news, and I got some bad news. And he said, what's the good news? He said, in 48 hours, you're going to die. The guy said, well, what's the bad news? He said, well, I forgot to call you yesterday. So, good news and bad news. So we're going to do a sermon today, if the Lord's willing. That's going to be a bad subject, but there's going to be some good at the end of it. And so the reason I say that, I'm going to get Daryl to throw up that picture of the cross. I want you to look at that cross for a minute. Yesterday, before we get to the sermon, turn to Matthew 26, 24. That's where we're going to be at when we get there. So good news and bad news, right? We joked about the little doctor joke there. When we go through life, you know, you got a mixture of some good and some bad. Just life in general, right? So we're going to talk about one of those things, but how they all, we got good news at the end. So Lori and I went to the beach yesterday. And most of y'all know I love to deer hunt. That's my favorite time of year. I love the winter. I don't like summer. I don't like sweating. I like the winter. I love deer hunting. And not just to kill deer, harvest deer. And I'm just joking. I kill deer. So it's good to eat. Good to eat. So anyway, but it's also my time of, I call it a factory reset. And I love to get out in God's creation. Just to clear my mind, watch nature. So in the summertime, you can't deer hunt. Or if you do, you take a chance on getting in trouble, right? So those deer hunters, y'all know that's funny. So anyway, so the beach, I don't get in the water. And so I'm not scared of the sharks. I'm just scared of the pollution that's in it. Or could be. But anyway, it gives me time to reflect. It gives my factory reset. So this cross, the particular place we went to, we turned in. Somebody put this cross a pretty good ways out there. How he done it, I don't know. But I was thinking yesterday, because, you know, if you look and you try, and wherever you at in the city, in the country, in the deer stand, at the beach, whatever, you can see God's handiwork. Amen. It's all over the place. Okay? So I was looking at that. I know a man put that cross up there, but it's in the ocean. And I was reflecting on that and stuff, you know, about this sermon that God laid on my heart to talk about today. And I was thinking, you know, all the answers, all the solutions to all the problems that we may go through in life, he answered every one of them on that cross. Amen. Not that particular one. That's a joke. But on the cross, Jesus Christ died for you and I. So he gave us a solution to those problems that we're going to have. And not if, it's when. Okay? So we're going to reflect on something that happened to Jesus. And if you're like me, I read that scripture a bunch of times, and it's about Judas and betrayal. And you kind of go through it and just think, okay, well, you know, he got betrayed and stuff. But it goes deeper than that. Okay, this is one of Jesus' close companions. And I'm going to limb and say a lot of y'all, over the years, at some point, been betrayed by somebody that you loved or somebody you were close to. Or by a friend that you thought. And we're going to look at this blueprint that Jesus gave us on this betrayal, how deep it really was, and then how to take care of those. Because if you haven't been betrayed by somebody, you probably will at some point in time, okay? Matthew 26, 24. And always, I like how Charlie says it. You know, when I give a sermon and stuff, I hit the highlight of it. But read homework, read before it and read after it and stuff, and you'll see how it all kind of works together. But the Son of Man goes as is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It's been good for that man if he had never been born. You ever thought about that? You read that. You know, the 12 disciples, he picked the 12 disciples. Jesus, being Jesus, knew that it was going to be, that's going to happen. But yet, originally Judas was one of the chosen ones to walk with Jesus and see these miracles and be a part of spreading the gospel. And Jesus knew it all along. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had the insight or the foreknowledge of having somebody close to me betray me, I'm probably not going to have them hanging around me too much. Okay? I mean, that's just our human nature, our flesh. But we're going to look at how Jesus and how it applies to us. How it applies to us. It says, among all the names of Scripture, none carried the weight of sorrow like Judas. He walked with Jesus, heard his teachings, witnessed miracles, and sat at the table with the Savior. Yet he became the man who betrayed Christ with a kiss. Now, I said all that to say this on that part. Just because you say Jesus is my Savior, just because I read my Bible, just because I go to church all the time, or sometimes, that don't mean you have a relationship with Christ. That don't mean your heart's right. Okay? So I want you to look at that and think. On the outside looking in, back then with Judas, you probably had no idea that the sin and the deceit that was brewing in his heart that came up. And let's don't, before we go any further, let's don't condemn this guy and stuff. And because I'd never do that. Did you not answer a call that Jesus told you to do? Have you ever not picked that phone up that would lay on your heart to call that friend to check on them? Did you ever not take the opportunity to witness to somebody that come across your path? Have you ever done anything like that? I know there's a difference that we look at, a difference in, you know, where he betrayed Jesus, whatever. Don't be so quick to think you never betrayed Jesus in some form or fashion. Maybe not this extent, but this is a reflection on us as Christians. We need to look at ourselves. You know, we preached, I think it was last week, we need to take a daily look in that mirror and ask ourselves with Christ, hey, am I lining up with what you want me to do or be or go and do? Am I doing that? Because we're going to look here in a minute. I'm going to break it all down here in a second, where I can almost guarantee you that Judas didn't come up, didn't from the start say, I'm going to betray Jesus. I'm going to get on the inside. Probably didn't start that way. What happened? Let's talk. We can talk about it. And then we're going to talk about two things also. Sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Okay? And reason we're going to look at that is it fulfilled prophecy. There was prophecy that Judas was going to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew the prophecy. And then, but we still got the responsibility of the man. We'll look at that. Sin, let's start with a problem. We all got this problem. We all got the same problem Judas had. We're born into a sin problem. Nobody's exempt. At some point, we had to make a choice. Am I going to let Christ take over and defeat my sin, take care of it? Or am I going to continue to live in the sin and not accept Christ? Sin can grow in the heart unnoticed. Just think, I hate to use this word, but you just think of cancer. It starts out as a small little cell and grows and grows. That's the way sin works most of the time. You don't intentionally go out and sin most of the time. You shouldn't as a Christian, but just slowly sneaks in. I want to tell you something. Somebody that's more craftier than anybody in here is Satan himself. He's still in the business of deceiving people. Oh, man, you just a little bit, it won't hurt nothing. Just a little bit. And then it'll mushroom, it'll grow. Being close to Jesus is not the same as surrendering to Jesus. Judas was close to Jesus. Satan at different times and was close to Jesus. But he didn't choose Jesus. He didn't surrender to him. That's the difference. Even in betrayal, Christ continues his mission of redemption. I'm going to tell you something. God chose us as his vessel, okay, to do his mission work, to get that word out there, spread that gospel. He chose us to do it. But if you or I refuse to do that, or we fall away from that, and we don't do that, it's still going to happen. There'll be somebody else come in. And so God's will never be altered by what we do. It might alter us. It might lead us down a path. And some of y'all might have been there for it. We might have kind of drifted away a little bit. God was still working in everybody else's life and your life too. Even though you may have drifted and took the long way back around. But God's sovereignty is always going to be the same. It says Judas was not on the outside. He was one of the 12 disciples. He traveled with Jesus for years. No one at the table immediately suspected him. You can look faithful outwardly while your heart drifts away inwardly. Think about that. I call it play church. Y'all know me. I say it all the time. You can look good on the outside. Look like you're doing all the right things. You're following Christ. You're on fire for Christ. If your heart's not in it, it don't mean nothing. We need to get our heart right. We need to draw closer to God, build on that relationship. Let me get on my soapbox just 1 second. Y'all ready? I do this every Sunday probably. Church attendance, ministry involvement, religious language, and even spiritual gifts do not automatically mean genuine devotion to Christ. And I got my little parentheses there, playing church. You can do all those things, but if you ain't got that one-on-one personal relationship with Christ, it's all just play. Don't mean nothing. The problem or the danger of Judas, and like when we let things come in our life, doesn't begin with betrayal. It began with small compromises. Just think about if you read the story of Judas. Greed. Remember, he was offered 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. Hidden sin. Obviously, he had something going on inside. Greed, one thing. Dishonesty. Divided loyalty. I said at some point, some function, I said one time, when you want a relationship with Christ and you want to do all these things, it's like playing Texas Hold'em, all in. You got a good hand, put it all in. You either are or you're not following Christ. You either are going to follow Christ wholeheartedly or you're not. We need to, what team we're going to be on and what team we're going to stay on. Sin readily destroys life overnight. It grows quietly went ignored. You got something trickles in your life, sin-wise, something you never do? You need to take care of it. You need to give it to Christ right then. Don't say, it ain't going to hurt this one time. You heard that before? I'll just do it one time, and it ain't going to be no big deal. Then it's a little bit easier to do the next time. Whatever that is, I'm just throwing, I don't know what y'all's situation is. You might be okay right now. But I'm sure at some point, or in the future too, you're going to struggle with something. That's our human sin nature. We're going to do it. But we got to stay connected to Christ. We must regularly examine our hearts. Meaning, let me break it down a little bit for you. Are we following Jesus for who he is, or what we can gain from it? Thought about that? Amen. Are you for who he is, or what you may get out of it? We have bitterness or greed or pride or secret sin taking root. Are you mad at somebody? How many times have you heard, I would come to church up there, but I don't like so-and-so. You're going to let so-and-so send you to hell? I got news for you. When you get a group of people, you ain't going to like somebody probably. Amen. Or they're going to rub you wrong one day or something. That's just life, right? We do that at home, Has your kids ever made you mad? Amen. Your spouse? I got to be careful now. I got to walk because my kids are here and my spouse. So I'm walking on thin ice already. That's human nature. But do not let it dictate on how you're going to follow Christ or what you're going to do with Christ. Matter of fact, give it to him and see how he takes care of it for you, how he can fix it. Are we truly surrendered? I think I was how to say it. Meaning, just an example. Hey, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do anything you want me to do. Okay, I need you to go talk to this guy over here next door. Well, I got supper first. I got to eat. Yeah. And I'm being funny a little bit, but just think of it. We make excuses all the time. You're willing to say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but I'm going to do it on my time, my schedule. I want to do it when it's convenient for me. That's the issue we run into. That's what he's talking about. Are you truly going to surrender? Right now, if he tells you to do something, you're going to do it? If you get up and walk out of here, I'm going to assume that God told you to go do something. Answer God's call. God is not impressed by your appearance, your Christian look, your religious look. That don't impress him none. He searches the heart. That's what he's looking for. If you want to look good and play church, you can come to me. I can tell you how. But look here, I can show you how to do that. God did that before. Never know the difference. But God does. The one that matters does. The one that truly counts at the end really does. He knows. He knows. God's plan was not defeated by betrayal. Let's talk about that in a minute. The betrayal did not surprise heaven. God's redemptive plan will still unfold. Just think about this. If it hadn't been this way, it had been done another way. The cross was not an accident. It was fulfillment of prophecy. One way or the other, Jesus was going to do the Father's will. And down that cross for you and I. It just so happened it went through Judas that turned him over. Just like if we don't do God's work, it's still going to happen. The same thing with this too. If it's prophecy and it's God's will, if you try to stop it or you try to encourage it one way or the other, it's going to happen. It's going to fulfill. even when evil actions could not stop God's purpose. Betrayal cannot stop God. Opposition cannot stop God. Human failure cannot overturn God's plan. That's a good thing, because how many times humans fail? God's in control. Let me go down the road here a minute. I just said that word control. So God, I told y'all sometimes, you know, he's comical. He likes to wake me up weird hours of the morning, does different things. But not only he did that this time, he gave me two sermons on my heart. Two. And up till 5 minutes to 11 earlier, I didn't know which way I was going. And I was waiting on God to tell me which way to go. And I thought about, we can do 3 or 4 hours, we can do both of them. Control. God is complete control. With any luck, if God wants me to, that's the other sermon that was laid on me. Okay? So, just give you a little insight. If you hear a sermon about control coming up, that's probably what it's going to be, unless he gives me something else. What others mean for evil, God still uses for his glory. Divine sovereignty never removes human responsibility. At the end of the day, Judas had to make a choice. The end of the day, you and I are going to have to make a choice. Are we going to follow Christ or we're not? Are we going to accept his grace and his son dying on the cross for us or are we not? He's not going to force you to do it. He could have stopped this thing on the cross anytime he wanted to. But because of his love and his grace for you and I, he followed through with it. And literally, we need to thank God for that. Because if it hadn't happened, we wouldn't be, no need for us even up here talking about anything. But he did that for us. But we got that free will. We got to make that choice, one way or the other. Judas made real choices. He was accountable for them. And he was. If you read the story, go to the end. It cost him his life at the end. Not only his physical life, but probably his eternal life as well. Either way, it didn't turn out good. And here's, don't get hung up on this. And we do, I hear it all the time, and I've done it myself. We cannot blame destiny, circumstances, or others for sinful decisions. It's your responsibility, my responsibility, to make that choice that we want to make, that we need to make, whatever choice you make. You don't blame nobody else. Don't let your circumstances control you. You control the circumstances. You may have had a bad circumstances in your life, or still do. That don't take away what you can do with Christ, what he can do for you. Don't let it dictate that. Judas made real choice. I read that. We cannot blame destiny. I told you that each person is responsible before God. And I told y'all before, not only are we going to answer for what we did not do, or what we did, but what we did not do. You may be the best person, the most moral person ever walked the face of the earth, but you didn't make that decision to follow Christ. You're going to answer for that. Why didn't you? We're all going to face him at some point. Why did you do this or why you didn't do this? It's our choice. At the same time, as believers, we can trust that God remains in control, even during painful betrayal or disappointments. you're going to have a bad day. You're going to be let down by somebody. You're going to have a bad circumstance. You're going to stump your toe, or whatever the circumstance is. God's still in control. Nothing changes God's control. Nothing. Us as people wanting to be in control doesn't change God really being in control. Does that make sense? Did I word that right? We got that nature too. We want to control everything. We want to control everything. Right? But it don't change that God is really in control. You make all the plans you want for next week. I'm going to go work in the morning. But you don't wake up in the morning. Guess what? You weren't in control after all. You need to check with God and give it to Him. Say, God, if it's your will, I'm going to do this. I want to do this, but it's your will, what you want me to do. We need to recognize who's really in control. We got to recognize that. Brother Joe in the back there, he's always told me one time, you know, every one of us are one phone call away from a life-changing event at any moment. But God is still in control of that. Now look, here's what's going to be. Look here, let me say me. This is what I'll have. If I know a guy or a person that's going to do something to me or did something to me, look what Jesus did. Even during the Last Supper, Jesus treated Judas with dignity and patience. He washed his feet. Remember, we did that agape love, that big word we're talking about. God's, however you treat Jesus, He's still going to love you just as much as He always has. Put it in our terms, our Oakhurst terms. What you do is not going to change the way He feels for you, the way He cares for you, even how bad it may be, just like Judas. Christ gave opportunities for repentance until the very end. Same thing with you and I. As long as we got a breath, we're still walking. You still have the opportunity to accept Christ. He's going to give you all that to the very end. Jesus knew Judas would betray Him, yet He still washed His feet, just like we talked about. This is astonishing grace. How do you treat people that's done you wrong? Just the heart of Christ is merciful even towards those who wound Him. So let me throw this at you. Now I'm going to preach to you a little bit. All right. If you're on the betrayal side, I've been betrayed, or you the one that gave the betrayal, and I'm not just stopping at betrayal. We're just talking about that today. Or you got some junk that's in your life. Here's the difference between Judas, how he handled it, and the way we should handle it, okay? Judas chose remorse instead of repentance. Judas felt bad after he did it. Hung himself. He ran away. Hung himself. Until he did that, he had the chance to repent. You and I, until the day we die, or Jesus takes away, we have a chance to clean it up and repent. Choose repentance, not remorse. Yeah, you're going to feel bad about something you did or didn't do, but don't let it interfere with your repentance with Christ. He can take it and clean it up. Remorse feels bad about something, and repentance turns back to God. Turn back to God. Don't just dwell in it. Don't just, what's that word, self-pity. Don't just drown in your remorse. Pick yourself up, give it to God, and move on. Repent from it. Just think about Peter. He's a good example. I wish O.C. was here. He might be watching. O.C., this is for you. Peter, that's one of his favorite characters. The Apostle Peter failed Jesus, but Peter returned, repented, and was restored. Judas turned away in despair. That's the difference in the two right there. When Peter repented and got restored by Christ, there wasn't nothing stopping him after that. He was as solid as anybody could be. And you can too. You can too. We can. No matter how far someone has fallen, there is mercy in Christ for those who truly repent. Remember, I say, even, you know, I say weird things, but I don't care who you are, what you are, who you done it to, what side of the tracks you live on. All that junk does not matter. You, individual, not because your mama told you to, or not because your daddy or your principal at school when you get in trouble, because you take yourself and go to Christ with it. It's a self-choice. You do it. The enemy says you have failed too greatly. But the gospel says, come back to Christ. Come back. It's both a warning and an invitation. Matthew 26:24. Don't play with sin. Don't fake your devotion. And don't harden your heart. That's what it says don't do. But it also invites us to cling to Christ, whose love remains steadfast even in the face of betrayal. You know, I got to end with questions, right? I love to ask questions. The question is, not whether we have failed, because everybody has. The question is whether we repent and return to Jesus. That's the real question I want you to ask yourself today. Today's the day of salvation. Get rid of that junk, whatever that may be. If you're a Christian and you're going through something, get rid of it. Give it to Christ. If you ain't, see, I got good English. If you're not a Christian, today is the day. Do not merely sit near the cross or Christ like Judas. Walk with him in truth, humility, and surrender. That's all we got to do. Daryl's going to play a song of invitation. And Daryl, if you would, throw John 16:33 up there, please. Look at that promise that he gave us. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You notice that? Will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus, I don't care what the situation is. I don't care if it is betrayal. I don't care if it is whatever. I don't care what it is. What did he say? I have overcome the world. Give it all to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house, Lord, and just open our minds, our hearts, and just that we will receive what you gave us, Lord. And just thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
No sorrow that heaven can't